The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. One of the very first things that Christ began to speak was repentance. Notice what Mark 1, verses 14 through 15 has to say. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Christ taught a repentance message, and that was one of the very first things that he began to teach. Did you notice the very first message that Christ began to speak was the kingdom of God, which will be established on the earth and very soon now, and a repentance message? Christ said, "Repent and believe the gospel." The gospel of the kingdom of God to be established on the earth by Jesus Christ. How many people believe that today? How many people preach and teach a repentance message today? How many preach and teach what sin is? That it is the breaking of God's law. There are no shortcuts to salvation, my friends. There are no shortcuts to God and Christ. The first requirement that you must meet is to repent. That is, if you want to be saved. And that means not only asking God to forgive you, it does mean that, all right, but it also means you ask for forgiveness wholeheartedly, in sincerity and truth. And it means to understand what you need to repent of, that it is the breaking of God's law. When we break God's law, we sin against God. We hurt God and Christ, as well as self and others. We are God's children. He is our Father. God cares about you just like parents do their kids. The keeping of God's laws are for our good, for our well-being. Repentance also means that you must begin turning around. Quit breaking and trampling and ignoring God's word, including the Ten Commandments, and that also means the fourth one, Saturday the Sabbath. The word repent means to think differently, have a different mindset and an attitude. It means a change, or it means reconsider your lifestyle. It means to feel uneasy and uncontented with the way that you are. It means to be sorry for hurting God, yourself, and others. Now we know it takes a sacrifice or the blood of Christ or the death of Christ to be forgiven of sin. But you have to do your part. You must come to the point of a repentant mind and attitude. The Bible says the goodness of God leads you to repentance. That is telling us that we must be willing to follow God's leading you or calling you to repentance. In other words, there will be a change of heart, mind, and attitude and understanding when you begin the process of repentance and conversion. You will begin to understand how wrong your ways are and the damage you have done by living your life apart from God's Word. One of the very first things the New Testament era of the Church of God began to teach was repentance. Notice what it has to say in Acts 2, beginning in verse 36. That's Acts 2, beginning verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." First inspired sermon that Peter gave on the day of Pentecost here, and he got the point across, as you will notice as we go on reading this account here. Let's read that again. I want you to understand the message that he was teaching. It says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Peter is telling them that it is the sins of the world that killed Jesus Christ. It's your sin, it's my sin, that killed Christ. And we have to come to the point that we realize that before we can fully and wholeheartedly and sincerely repent. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Yes, this got to them. They were cut to the heart. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, or for the forgiveness of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Yes, that is a must. That is a requirement if you want to be saved. We must realize that you and I and the whole world is guilty of killing Jesus Christ. And until we come to that point, we can't wholeheartedly repent. And when we come to that point of repentance wholeheartedly, we have to be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. Peter goes on here in verse 39, "For the promises to you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord Lord our God will call. Speaking of the promise of the Holy Spirit that will help you to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and will also help you to continue to see yourself and continue to repent. Repentance and conversion is a lifelong process, my friends. Now there is the initial repentance and the initial conversion, but it is a continued process. God makes that very plain, very clear in His Word. So Peter says that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that God has promised to those that He calls, wherever you are and whomever you are. And it also means the promise of eternal life, which comes with a package of God's Holy Spirit. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation, or it means this crooked generation or this crooked world. And the way you do that is come to repentance and baptism for the remission of sin, and you begin to walk in newness of life, as God tells us in other places. Verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Those people were broken up because of their sin, and they repented. They realized that it was their sin that had killed their Savior, Jesus the Christ. And as I said, you have to come to that point too if you really wholeheartedly, sincerely repent. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Notice that, my friends, after they repented and were baptized, they continued to live in the apostles' doctrine. Yes, they continued to obey God. They continued to obey what the apostles taught, and it was the way of God that they taught. Verse 43, then fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. Now they had a complete, total mind change from selfishness to a way of love. And that's what repentance really is. That is beginning the process of God's love in you. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Yes, to be saved is a process. It's not a one-time walking down the aisle and giving your heart to the Lord. It is a process. It is a lifetime process, my friends, and I hope that you won't be deceived by any other message. Romans 2 and verse 4 has this to say, or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Yes, it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance, but you have to be willing to be led to repentance. John 6, verse 44 says this, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is Christ speaking. He says no one can come to repentance, no one can come to Jesus Christ unless God the Father draws him. God isn't calling everyone today. If you are fed up with your way of life, then God is surely calling you and leading you to repentance. It's up to you to hear. It's up to you to accept that invitation. God won't force you, but He will grant that repentance if you accept that invitation. There is one whole chapter in the Old Testament devoted to repentance. That's found in Psalms 51, beginning in verse 1. David understood the importance of repentance. He realized how wrong his ways were. He realized he had broken God's law, and it was against God that he had sinned. David understood the importance of God's grace, God's forgiveness, and God's mercy. He was broken up because of his sins against God. That is easily picked up as you read and study this chapter. Notice what was inspired to be written here by David himself in Psalms 51, beginning in verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Now David had been a man after God's own heart for many years up to this time. And if you are familiar with what David was really repenting of here, was the incident with Bathsheba and Uriah, had committed adultery with Uriah's wife and had Uriah killed to try to cover it up. Verse 2, he says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. You get the sense here that David was really broken up because of the terrible sin that he had done. He had sinned against God, and he says, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." You can read that in verse 4 of this chapter. Yes, David said, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." David was sorry and broken up. Not that he got caught, my friends, but that he had sinned against God, that he had hurt his Creator, and that he had hurt others as well as himself. That's the point that you need to come to if you want to repent and be a servant of God. Verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." In other words, David is saying he was born into a sinful world. He was conceived into a sinful world and born into a sinful world. Verse 6, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom." Yes, David knew that you didn't fool God. He knew that if you repented, it had to be wholeheartedly and sincerely. Verse 7 goes on, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice." In other words, David is asking God, as you can read here in verse 9, he says, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." And my friends, when you come to real repentance, God promises you that he forgives all of your sins, and he removes your sins from you as far as the east is from the west, and that he forgets all of your past sins. But that doesn't give you license, as it tells us in Romans 6, to go on and sin. Once you have repented, been baptized, and received God's Spirit, you have to continue to walk with God. David goes on here in verse 10. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." That's what repentance begins to do, is to create in you a clean heart. You have to come to that point that you want a clean heart, a clean mind. You want a mind change. You want an attitude change and an attitude adjustment. He said, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." At that time, David had God's Spirit, but still he could sin and did sin. But he woke up, and he was ready and willing to deeply, wholeheartedly, sincerely repent and call on God's mercy, call on God's grace. I see my time is just about up. We'll continue this theme in our next broadcast tomorrow or next week, wherever it is that you hear the broadcast. But in the meantime, request our free articles. What do you mean, repent? And what does God require? Now, that's our free articles. No cost to you, no obligation, no one will call on you, or no one will visit you. What do you mean, repent? And what does God require? All you need to do to receive those articles is call the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day at 573-238-3675. And if no one is there to answer the phone, please leave us a message so that we can get back to you, and we will mail that literature right out to you. Or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. That's thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Or call us, the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, 573-238-3675. This is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to keep listening to The Way It Ought to Be program daily on some stations and weekly on others. Have a good day, my friends.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.